Thank you, Mr. Patterson. Good afternoon to you all. Happy Sabbath. Hopefully you're having a great day. Hopefully your week has been good. Welcome to our visitors here. I see at least a few of you guys, so welcome to you all. Welcome to those on the webcast also. I'd like to jump right in and start by turning to 2 Timothy 4, verse 10. 2 Timothy 4, verse 10. This will set the introduction for my message. It's more of a side note that Paul mentions, but it's a good starting point for us today. It's something that we need to consider. So 2 Timothy 4, verse 10. says, "For Demas has forsaken me, having loved this present world, and has departed for Thessalonica." So it appears that this person named Demas was working with Paul at some point. But what happened afterwards? Demas left Paul. He went back into the world. Probably all of us have known people that have left the church to go back into the world. They've wandered away from God. How did they ever get to that point? Could that happen to any of us? Today I want to talk about this concept of wandering from God. My title's not very original, but the title is, "Are You Wandering from God?" Are you wandering from God? It's a great question to ask ourselves as we begin our Passover preparation. We are to examine ourselves. Or even if you aren't baptized, you still need to consider this. Can you wander so far that you leave the church? So let's turn over to Ephesians 4, verse 13. Ephesians 4, verse 13. Now, while you're turning there, let's examine what this word wandering even means. If we look at Merriam-Webster's dictionary, this is what it says. To move about without a fixed course, aim, or goal. To go idly about. To follow a winding course. To go astray, or to go astray morally. To stray in thought. So using my own words, it's not knowing where you're going. It's not knowing or not having a goal. It's to deviate morally and in thought. So if we don't have a clear goal in mind, we can wander from God. So keep this wandering definition in mind as we read here Ephesians 4, verse 13. Ephesians 4, verse 13, "Till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ." So we are to compare ourselves with Christ, to continue maturing. We especially do this before Passover. Verse 14, "That we should no longer be children, tossed to and fro, and carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men, in the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting." So we're told not to be tossed to and fro, similar to a vessel that is wandering. But we're also told to no longer be children. Now, even though most of us listening are adults, we're often children in our relationship with God. We're told to no longer be children, but we have to mature. Now, if we have children, we have to keep a close eye on them. Why? What do kids do? They tend to wander off. Now, what happens when they typically wander off? If you ask most parents, they'll tell you. Their kids wander off, they tend to get in trouble. They wander into areas, they wander into places that they should not go. Now, what happens to us? If we wander away from the Father, we get into places, we get into situations that we should not be in. It really is simple. Think about the Garden of Eden. God's talking to them. He's giving them instructions. They're living in a paradise. We would consider this amazing. But what happens? God calls out to them, and they're hiding. We know the story. But why did they eat of the tree of knowledge of good and evil? Eve wandered off from God. What happened? Satan was waiting for her. Her wandering away from God led her to sin. Then Adam also wandered away from God and sinned also. They paid a price for their wandering. They got kicked out of the Garden of Eden. Well, let's move forward to ancient Israel. Maybe that's the most well-known case of wandering in the Bible. They were called out of slavery. They were given this miraculous opportunity to freedom. But because they could not follow God's instructions, they ended up wandering. They went awry. They wandered from the God who'd set them free. They wandered at the foot of Mount Sinai when Moses didn't come back as quick as they wanted. They wandered. They wandered to go back to Egypt. They set up a golden calf. They did the very things that God set them free from. And here's the big thing also. They reverted back to their old habits. I submit to you, reverting back to old habits is the primary reason why we wander from God. Old habits cause us to wander from God. It's why we have to walk in the fullness of Jesus Christ. It's why we have to get rid of the old man. So let's turn over to 1 Corinthians 10, verse 6. 1 Corinthians 10, verse 6. To keep the old man down, we have to realize what it was that the Israelites struggled with. What can we learn from the Israelites and why they wandered? Now, 1 Corinthians 10, verse 5 mentions God was not pleased with most of them. It says their bodies were scattered in the wilderness. But let's start in verse 6. So 1 Corinthians 10, verse 6. Now these things became our examples, to the intent that we should not lust after evil things, as they also lusted. So these verses are given to us as an example, so that we do not desire evil like they did. Now what evil things did they want that caused them to wander? There's a list of four evil things that they wanted. Let's read 1 Corinthians 10, verse 7. Verse 7, and do not become idolaters as were some of them. As it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. So the first evil thing that they wanted was false representation of God. The first thing they wanted was false representation of God. Now what happened? Israel got restless. They made a golden calf. We find that in Exodus 32 if you want to reference it. And then after that, they sang. They danced. Today, many people want God to be something that he is not. They think God loves everyone, so no matter what they do, we should also love them no matter what they do. We should never confine God to what we think he should be. Let's just let him reveal himself through his word. We need to get rid of any preconceived notions that we have. So that's the first thing, first evil that they looked for. The second one is found in verse 8. 1 Corinthians 10, verse 8, nor let us commit sexually immorality, as some of them did, and in one day 23,000 fell. So the second evil thing that they wanted was sexual immorality. The second evil thing was sexual immorality. Now this verse is a reference to the men of Israel and the prostitutes of Moab in Numbers 25. We know we live in a society full of sexuality. We have to be on guard. Remember, though, this doesn't just have to be physical. It can be sexual lust in our heart also. Now, the third thing is found in verse 9. Nor let us tempt Christ, as some of them also tempted, and were destroyed by serpents. So the third evil thing the Israelites did was testing God. The third thing they did was testing God. Now, the people of Israel, they got very grumpy. They demanded that God produce miracles for them on demand. They were impatient with their journey. You can find one example of this in Numbers 21, verse 4 and 5. Again, that's Numbers 21, verse 4 and 5. Now, we're all sometimes tempted to think, if God does not give us what we ask for, when we want it, how we want it, then he may not be with us. Maybe somebody says, I'll tithe faithfully when God gives me a job where I can make more money. We can think God must bless us first before we obey him. This is a form of testing God. Now the fourth one is found in verse 10. 1 Corinthians 10, verse 10. Nor complain as some of them also complained, and were destroyed by the destroyer. So the fourth evil thing that they did was murmur and complain. The fourth one is murmur and complain. The Israelites murmured and complained quite often. One example I'll just mention is in Numbers 16 and 17. This was with Korah. Korah complained, Moses and Aaron shouldn't have been the leaders. What happened though? The earth opened up, it swallowed Korah, it swallowed his followers. Today maybe we say things like, I don't like the way that things are done around here, or I don't like this, but we cannot be a complainer. Now these were some of the evil things that caused them to wander. We should learn from these so we don't fall prey to some of the same reasons that cause them to wander. Consider how these four things can cause you to wander as you do your Passover preparation. Now this leads us to the question, do you ever wander from God? Now we know we all sin, But do you think you actually wander away from God at times? Let's consider some stories from the Bible. Let's see if you can find a common link with this group of people. All of these people wandered at times. Let's start with Noah. He was upright. He was striving to do God's will. He was considered a just man. He was considered perfect in his generations. Did he ever wander? Well, think about after the flood. He planted a vineyard. However, in Genesis 9, it tells us he drinks too much. There was a scandal that occurred with his son, Ham. Now, there's nothing wrong with alcohol in moderation, but if people wander into it excessively, that can become an idol. They can put it before God's law. So Noah wandered away from God and into drunkenness during this incident, and it hurt his family. Let's move on to Abraham, the father of the faithful. Did he ever wander? In a moment of weakness, when he was not thinking about God, he instead was worried about a king who was eyeing his beautiful wife. What was Abraham worried about? He was worried the king would kill him and take his wife and put her in his harem. So what did Abraham do? He told a half-truth. We find that in Genesis 12. Later on, though, he did exactly the same thing. That's in Genesis 21. This was an issue that Abraham struggled with because he was not reliant on God during that time. We all have issues because we wander away from God. He probably felt terrible about it and talked to God about it, like we do when we have a recurring problem. Consider Jacob. He grew up learning about God from his parents, Isaac and Rebekah. Yet he still wandered from God for most of his life. He was a trickster. He didn't want to rely on God, but he wanted to trick others into getting things that he deserved. We know he tricks Esau into giving him the birthright for the bowl of soup. He tricked his dad into blessing him. What'd he do? He put goat skin on his hands. Let's consider Moses. He stood up to Pharaoh. He led the Israelites out of Egypt and through the wilderness. God performed great miracles through Moses, including the parting of the Red Sea. But when, in Numbers 20, the people were complaining again to Moses, God had told Moses to speak to the rock. But instead, what did Moses do? He struck the rock twice. Moses was wandering from God during this time. Maybe it's because he didn't trust God enough. Maybe he was just being rash. Either way, Moses wandered from God. It cost him from entering the Promised Land. Let's move forward and think of Gideon. This is a story you might not know as well. So let's turn to Judges chapter 8. We know Gideon was one of the judges of Israel. He won great victories with God leading him. There's a famous story with him, but I'm not going to turn to that one. But Gideon, he won great victories. And the people of Israel, after these victories, they wanted him to be their king. But let's look at Gideon's response in verse 23. So let's look at Judges 8, verse 23. Judges 8, 23. But Gideon said to them, I will not rule over you, nor shall my son rule over you. The Eternal shall rule over you. So Gideon refused to be their king. He said that God was Israel's king. Verse 24. Then Gideon said to them, I would like to make a request of you, that each of you would give me the earrings from his plunder. Now Gideon was allowed to take a reward due to the standard of the day. But what did Gideon do with that reward? Verse 27, then Gideon made it into an ephod and set it up in his city, Ophrah, and all Israel played the harlot with it there. It became a snare to Gideon and to his house. So Gideon used this gold to make this ephod. Now, ephod is just a ceremonial religious garment. So what happened here? Israel, Gideon, his family, they started to revere the garment more than God. Gideon just won great victories. He gave God credit. But not too long afterwards, he wandered from God. Let's talk about Samson. Samson from the Bible. Samson was another judge. God's spirit helped him do great things. He killed a lion with his hands. He could have had probably any woman in Israel. But what did he do? He wandered away from his nation. He caught the eye of a woman named Delilah. When Samson stepped outside of his guidance of God, he stepped into a dangerous situation. His eyes were in the wrong place. He ended up actually losing his eyes later. In the end, he was redeemed, though. He killed the Philistines in the temple. We know the story of David and his trespasses. He killed Goliath. He became king. His eyes were wandering also when he saw a woman on the rooftop. His wandering brought terrible consequences to Israel and to his family. Now, what's the common denominator with all of those people? Did you figure it out? I'm not picking on them, but they all wandered from God. They caused some serious issues with their families and often many others. We're given their stories so that we can learn from them. But yet, every single one that I just mentioned, they're mentioned by name in Hebrews 11. So let's turn over there and read two brief verses. Hebrews 11, verses 39 and 40. Hebrews 11, verse 39 and 40. All of these great people, they wandered from God for a time. Do you think you can wander from God? Hebrews 11, verse 39. In all of these, again, all of those lists we just went through, having obtained a good testimony through faith, did not receive the promise. Verse 40, God having provided something better for us, that they should not be made perfect apart from us. So all these amazing people are found in Hebrews 11. These two verses tell me that even though I mentioned the stories when they wandered from God, they still found their way back. They repented. They turned from their sinful behavior. They will receive the promise of eternal life when we do at that seventh trump. Now, if these great people can wander from God for a period of time, I hope it's obvious that you and I can also wander from God. We all do at times. If you think you don't, you're deceiving yourself. We can, we will wander from God. But when we're drifting, we must realize it. We must run back to God. So we've established we all do wander from God. But my title of the message is, Are You Wandering from God? How do you know if you're wandering from God today? Now, when you wander from God, there's usually two things that become evident. The first one is you struggle with prayer. You can have problems with prayer when you're wandering. Maybe you used to run to God in prayer. Did you pray more years ago than you do today? If so, why is that? Are other things keeping us from praying and communicating to God? This is a lifeline for us. You know, if Satan really wanted to cause grief, what does he do? He disrupts our communication. That's what he tries to do. He tries to keep us from prayer. Have you ever felt like that you are, even though you're praying, you're not really getting through? Maybe one of the toughest things in your morning is forcing yourself to talk to God. Everything else in your life seems good, but it's just really kind of a pain to talk to God. This could be a key sign that you're wandering from him. God won't leave you, but you can leave him, especially if you're not communicating with him. Maybe your prayer seems forced. Maybe it seems fake. Maybe your prayer seems empty or distant. If this is happening constantly, you may be wandering from God. Now, the second thing that becomes evident when you wander, you struggle to do Bible study. These are simple, but you struggle to do Bible study. Maybe years ago, you'd spend 30 minutes a day always studying. At times, sometimes, you get into such a topic that you like so much, it end up being an hour, hour and a half. But now there's more distractions. Netflix has some good shows. Maybe your family just keeps you really, really busy. Do you spend hours reading the exciting stories in God's Word? Are you making time to really do Bible study? Or is this your Bible study? Maybe open up Life, Hope, and Truth, read a 5-minute article, and you're done for the day. Now, the church produces great literature. We should read it. But we still have to physically read the Bible. It is God's inspired word. Now, I want to shift gears a little bit for the last part of this message. Let's consider the seven churches in Revelation. We can learn a great deal from them. We can learn how they wandered from God. So let's turn over to Revelation chapter 2. We know John was told to write and send messages to the seven churches. These seven churches were an ancient mail route in what's modern-day Turkey. But it seems these seven were chosen to represent all of Christ's servants through the ages. What does it say at the end of each warning to each church? Jesus Christ tells each congregation, "He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches." So no matter where in history we are, God's people must listen to and obey his instructions to these churches. So let's start in Revelation 2, verse 4. I'm not going to go into great detail. We have the FI online class if you want to listen to that. But let's just look at a few verses. Let's see how these churches were wandering from God. Let's see what God told them. So what can we learn from them? The first one is Ephesus. Ephesus, they are told they've persevered, they have patience, but they were also drifting. Revelation 2, verse 4. "Nevertheless, I have this against you, that you have left your first love." So the people of Ephesus had lost their first love. Maybe it was love of the brethren. Maybe it was love of God. Maybe they lost both. We won't turn there, but in Ephesians 1, verse 15, Paul mentions to the Ephesians that they had faith and love towards the saints. That's Ephesians 1, 15. So 35 years later, here in Revelation 2, 4, they were told that they had, what does it say? They left their first love. They wandered from God. They lost their love years later. Now, maybe this was a second generation congregation, but their love was lacking in intensity. Maybe Christianity was more an intellectual activity. Maybe it wasn't actually in their hearts. But they were wandering from God. They still had some positive traits. They had patience. They had perseverance. But unfortunately, there are lots of people in the world who have great traits, but they don't all have a relationship with our Creator. So what was the remedy for their wandering? What was the remedy for them losing their first love? Read verse 5 here, Revelation 2, verse 5. "Remember, therefore, from which you have fallen, repent and do the first works, or else I will come to you quickly and remove your lampstand from its place, unless you repent." They were told, we are told, to remember, repent, and do the first works. Now remember what it was like when you first discovered the truth. If you were born in the church, when you first got baptized, you were on fire to do whatever God wanted. We should remember that enthusiasm. We should remember that joy that we felt. Then it says we should repent, so we have to change whatever's wrong. Then it says we need to do the first works. Now, what were the first works? It was the expression of love that they had, a vigorous prayer, intense Bible study, of being with the brethren. If we've started to lose that, we may be wandering from God without realizing it. We need to correct our course immediately. Let's look at the second church, which is Smyrna. Smyrna is one of two churches that received no correction. So they weren't actually wandering from God. But what would they face? Let's read Revelation 2, verse 10. Revelation 2, verse 10. "Do not fear any of these things which you are about to suffer. Indeed, the devil is about to throw some of you into prison, that you may be tested, and you will have tribulation 10 days. Be faithful until death, and I will give you the crown of life." Now your Bible may say this is the persecuted church. They were going to suffer tribulation. They were going to suffer persecution. Some of them were going to be martyred. It's not that they'd wandered from God since they were not corrected. Rather, they're encouraged to hold fast, to endure through persecution. At times, all we're able to do is to hold on through a trial. But we're not going to endure if we've drifted too far from God. Now, the third church in Revelation is Pergamos. Let's see how they were wandering. Let's read Revelation 2, verse 14. Revelation 2, verse 14. "But I have a few things against you, because you have there those who hold the doctrine of Balaam, who taught Balak to put a stumbling block before the children of Israel, to eat things sacrificed to idols, and to commit sexual immorality." So they were offering things to idols and were committing this sexual immorality. Now back then, after pagan sacrificial feast, they would indulge in temple prostitution. So it appears that some of the people were guilty of doing these things. Some were participating in it. Others were just tolerating what was happening around them. God is not tolerant of sin. They'd wandered away from God. They'd wandered into pagan customs, sexual immorality, just like our society today. Now, what's the remedy if we wander from God into one of those sins? Let's read here in verse 16. Repent, or else I will come to you quickly, and I will fight against them with the sword of my mouth. The church is told very strongly to repent, or God would punish them with death. We also must find where we're wandering away. These are pretty strong words here. Thyatira is the next church. They have a lot going for them. Verse 19 mentions God appreciated their works, their love, their service, their faith, their patience. But they were wandering in another area. Let's read Revelation 2, verse 20. Revelation 2, verse 20. Nevertheless, I have a few things against you, because you allow that woman Jezebel, who calls herself a prophetess, to teach and seduce my servants to commit sexual immorality and eat things sacrificed to idols. So here in Thyatira, there was a woman who called herself a prophetess, when she clearly was not. She practiced deception. Many did not see through her deception. If you remember, there was a Jezebel in the Old Testament. This lady was ruthless. She instituted the worship of Baal on a national scale. So this lady here in Thyatira, she's being compared to how destructive that Jezebel was. This lady had wandered so far from God, she'd become a false prophetess. She was deceiving, she was corrupting others. And the members there, they were just going right along with it. Drop down to verse 24. Now to you I say, and to the rest in Thyatira, as many as do not have this doctrine, who have not known the depths of Satan, as they say, I will put on you no other burden. Verse 25, but hold fast what you have till I come. So those who have discernment, those who were not deceived, needed to hold on. Those who have not drifted from God will have discernment. This is hopefully us. We should not lose our understanding of the truth and of the right way of life and how we should be conducting ourselves. We're not to compromise no matter what's happening in the church around us. Some of us have seen the church fall apart in our time. Things may get much worse in the future. We have to be close enough to God. We have to have discernment. Now, the fifth church is Sardis. This city was living off its past fame, its past history. Unfortunately, it seemed to apply to the members also. So let's turn to the next chapter of Revelation. Let's look at Revelation 3, verse 1. I'll break into the thought here. I'll start in the middle of the verse. Revelation 3, verse 1. I know your works, that you have a name, that you are alive, but you are dead. Be watchful and strengthen the things which remain that are ready to die, for I have not found your works perfect before God. So this congregation, they were living off what they did in the past. They were spiritually dead now. No matter if we've done great things in the past for God or maybe other people in the church, are we still living today? Have you wandered from God? Have you fallen asleep? If you have, what are we to do about it? Verse 3, remember therefore how you have received and heard. Hold fast and repent. They were told, we are told, when we have wandered, when we've fallen asleep, we're to remember what we've learned in the past, and we are to repent. We have to make radical changes immediately if that's the case. Philadelphia is the next church. It's well known as the faithful church. Let's look at what we can learn from this church in Revelation 3, verse 10. Revelation 3, verse 10. Because you have kept my command to persevere, I will also keep you from the hour of trial, which shall come upon the whole world, to test those who dwell on the earth. So this hour of trial seems to be an obvious reference to the tribulation. It will come upon the whole world. It will be the greatest trial this world has ever seen. God will help those who are faithful to him. He will help those who are not wandering away from him. It appears that, by and large, those who are faithful to God will be protected. Could be a place of safety. It could be any other way that he chooses. But as long as we're focused on God and close to him, he will take care of us. Verse 11, behold, I am coming quickly. Hold fast what you have, that no one may take your crown. Have you ever considered, how could someone take your crown? Just like we said in the beginning, what can cause someone to drift from God? What can cause someone to abandon him, to go back into the world? Maybe anger. Maybe bitterness. Maybe neglect. Maybe you find something more interesting than God. Could be a mate. Could be money. Whatever it is, though, we must hold fast to God. We cannot wander. We have that crown in our hands. We cannot let anyone or anything cause us to wander. That's the warning that we have here. Now, the final church is Laodicea. This is known as the lukewarm church. How can a Christian become lukewarm? One of the main reasons is through neglect of a relationship with God. Neglecting prayer, neglecting Bible study. Through neglect, we can move away from Him. But it doesn't have to be a conscious decision on our part. It means we can get too busy with other things. Maybe we don't make time to do the things that we should. We know we can get too busy for Bible study. We can get too busy for prayer. Maybe when we do pray, though, maybe when we study, we're just going through the motions. It's possible for people to wander off without even realizing it. Now, how do we know this? Let's see what it says here. Revelation 3, verse 15. I know your works, that you are neither cold nor hot. I could wish you were cold or hot. Drop down to verse 17. Because you say, I am rich and become wealthy and have need of nothing, and do not know that you are wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. This group of people thought they were doing just fine. We can think we're following God and everything's great, but from God's perspective, we're wretched, we're miserable, we're poor, we're naked, we're blind. This scares me some. We can drift off, but be convinced we're fine, but we're not actually right with God. We can at times wander without knowing it if we are not diligent. Pray that God makes it clear to you what areas you are wandering away from Him. Now, the church has traditionally taught that the seven churches could be different eras. Assuming that's correct, the Laodicea era comes after the Philadelphia church. The church has also speculated that some in the end time who are wandering from God will have to go through the tribulation and not be protected. Maybe some Christians who are pleasing to God will go to a place of safety. But those who have let down, those who have wandered, those who have compromised, may have to go through the tribulation for one last wake-up call in order to develop the character that they need to be in God's kingdom. We have to stop our wandering. We have to turn back to God. Now, we took time to look at these churches and some of the problems they had. These are some of the same problems that we can have today if we're wandering from God. We cannot compromise God's truth. We cannot let the world influence us. We cannot return to the world. We have to be faithful towards God. We have to endure, even through persecution. Now let's turn over to Ecclesiastes 12, verse 13. Ecclesiastes 12, verse 13. If we boil it down, God's way really is simple enough for a child to understand. How do we deal with wandering? Ecclesiastes 12, verse 13. We know this verse. Ecclesiastes 12, verse 13. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God, keep His commandments, for this is man's all. We can complicate this, or we can keep it simple. I like the simple version. We need to fear God. We need to keep His commandments. When we pray and study like we're supposed to, if we follow Him with our whole heart, we'll be close to Him. We're going to have peace of mind that comes from that. And even when we do start to wander, because we will, through His Holy Spirit, we will realize we're wandering. We will return to following Him. So what causes you to wander? I challenge you to find what keeps you from being close to God. What takes you away from Him? We all have our own vices. We have our own temptations. We have issues that we're dealing with. We should look to see what or who is pulling us away from God. We have to fix that course. Examine to see if you're wandering from God this very day. If your prayer life and Bible study right now is not good, then you're definitely wandering. You need to get back on track immediately. Just like several of the churches were told, they needed to repent. They needed to turn back to Him. It's that simple. We don't know how much time we have in our own lives. We don't know when Christ will return. Our lives get complicated when we wander from God. God tells us, it's very simple, we should not wander from Him. Let's refuse to return to our old ways. Grow from being children. Grow to be an adult. Let's all strive to truly live up to the measure of the fullness of Jesus Christ. So we do go out wandering. There's a snake out there that'd love to trip us up.